on the front of me, number 260. First and last. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a billion in splendor and girded with grace. Children of dust and evil and frail, in Thee do we trust, nor finding to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Before opening prayer, let's turn over to 264. It's been a long time since we sang this, but we used to sing it, so let's give it a shot. Again, first and last.
I want to live, dear Lord, for Thee. Oh, keep me every day. A faithful witness let me be along life's rugged way. Take my hand and lead me anywhere you need me. With Thy Spirit lead me till I'm safe at home. Let me each day Thy Spirit feel, increase my courage, Lord, to walk by faith in Thy wisdom. Thy word, give I Thy word. Take my hand and lead me anywhere you need me. With Thy Spirit lead me till I'm safe at home.
Let us bow. O kind and merciful Father, we just want to begin this day with a humble bow and a humble heart, thanking you so much for another day, and that each and every soul that woke up this morning should praise your holy name. Because this is another day that you've given each and every one of us, every human being in this world, to thank you for opening up their eyes and allowing their feet to hit the floor and to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for all of the abilities that each and every human being have, and all of the ways and the means that you stretch out your loving arm, your tender mercy, and your care, and you provide for each and every one of us day by day. We're so grateful and so thankful and humble for one another, and that we can come here this morning and to greet each other with a smile and to show love and friendship, because, Father, this is the type of a world that you created where we can love one another and we can touch each other in a gentle way with care and kindness, and to let each and everyone know that You love us all, and no matter, Father, what we look like, where we came from, you created each and every human being in your own image. And we're so grateful and thankful that we can serve thee in spirit and in truth. And Father, we just want to extend this heartfelt prayer to thank you so much for Jesus. To know him, to know what he did for us, and that at some point in time in our lives, in every human being's life, that we was all sinners, and you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, and you asked us, Father, to believe in him. And Father, we want to extend this heartfelt prayer to all of the precious souls that are on our prayer list. Unfortunately, Father, I can't remember all their name, but we know that you can, and we ask and pray, Father, that you touch them in a way to let them know that whatever their needs are and whatever they're feeling, that you are there for them. And you have the power to give them happiness and to uplift them when they're sad. And Father, we want to extend this prayer to the Lynn family upon the loss of their loved ones. And we ask and pray, Father, at this time that you touch them in a very, very special way to let them know, Father, that they can depend on you in time of bereavements and in time of needs of this nature. And Father, we just want to thank you for our lives. And we want to thank you, Father, that we will always recognize you as our King and that you take care of us in so many different ways. And we want to pray, Father, that all that we say here this morning in our hearts, and that everything that we do, that we speak from our mouth, will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For it is in Jesus' name that we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Five, and this song we'll sing the first two verses 1 and 2.
I travel down a lonely road and no one seems to care. The burden on my weary back and bow me to despair. I often pray to Jesus how those words treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly.
we read in Romans chapter 5, 6 through 11, and it speaks of when we were without strength, that Christ still died for the ungodly. You know, this world, we were flawed. We had many weaknesses. And it said that even though we were sinners, that we were not worthy, that our Lord and Savior loved us so much that he still was willing to give his life on the cross, becoming that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, so that each and every one of us would still have that opportunity and that chance at an eternal salvation. So as we prepare to take of this Lord's Supper, you know, let us at this time, you know, clear our minds and let us reflect back on that sacrifice and what it meant to each and every one of us. We have before us, we have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, indeed thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father, to be able to take this opportunity to clear our minds, to reflect back, Heavenly Father, to be so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for, you know, even though we were flawed, and even though we were not worthy, Heavenly Father, for you to still put in place that plan of salvation, to send unto this world your only begotten Son, and for thy Son, Jesus Christ, to show his love, to be willing to endure that punishment, and to ultimately give his life on that cross. We pray, Heavenly Father, at this time that as we are about to partake of this bread that represents his body, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Hopefully everyone is through. We have to look in the bag. Sometimes it takes a little time to reach in there and get it. So let us give thanks for the bread. Father in heaven, we indeed thankful unto you for this bread which we have before. So fitting to represent your Son, our precious blood that was shed on the cross for the remission of sin. As often as we partake of it, may we let our mind reflect back to the cross, meditating upon that precious blood was shed at that time. May we always do it in a way that will be in accordance to your will. In Christ's name we do pray, and amen.
Amen.
Song of encouragement after the lesson this morning will be number 280. Before our lesson in scripture reading, let's turn and sing number 265. First and last verse again. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we dream. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, letting pass by. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King, in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the
Morning. Scripture reading for this morning's service is entitled Company in the Valley. Be reading from Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. That's Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Brother Skip.
Good morning. Truly God has been good to us once again. He's spared our lives to be able to come to assemble ourselves together on this morning. It's just good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of the service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Oh, wise eternal Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day and your blessings. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all those who have participated in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and the things that it has to say, that we can, Lord, to apply these things to our lives to help us to be what you have us to be. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that at the conclusion of this message, there are things that we've fallen short of, that we need to make corrections. Lord, give us the courage to do so before everlasting is too late. Guide me again in your word, the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at Psalms 23, we're going to be particularly looking at verse 4. As the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I just want to talk this morning about company in the valley. There's one thing that we can all be sure of, that God is always at work. When you are at some crossroad in your life, when you are forced to face the trials and the tribulations of life, when you are at a point of not knowing what to do, you can always trust in God, because he does. Every one of us go through valley experiences in our lives. In fact, these valley experiences are a part of life. When I talk about a valley, the valley represents all kinds of low places in life. A valley can be discouragement. A valley can be depression. A valley can be doubt, thinking that you will never get through a problem. It might be the loss of a job. It might be problems in a relationship, struggles in a personal matter, financial difficulties, the death of loved one, health issues, any number of various and sundry hardships and misfortunes. But a good working definition of a valley for our time this morning would be prolonged moments of pain and suffering that we seek to escape. Most people would rather be climbing the mountain than going through the valley. Well, why? Because every time we go through these valley experiences, we tend to wonder why God allows us to go through them. The enemy wants you to think that when you are in a valley of trouble, that God is absent. So in this 23rd Psalms, David is speaking of a deep, dark valley where there seems to be no ray of light. And you feel like you are not going to make it. But valleys are not dead end streets. The disappointments, the discouragement, the dilemmas of life, although they are valleys, shouldn't be classified as a disaster. David even refers to them as a shadow. So nonetheless, I submit to you this morning that the valley is the only route to our own personal promised land. There is no alternate route. When the Egyptians, you remember, chased the Israelites to the Red Sea, there was no way for them to go around it. But God made a way for them to cross. And when we journey through the valley, we must always keep in mind that God will always make a way. We must always keep in mind that His grace, His leading, His mercy never fails. His way may not always be the same as the one we would imagine. In other words, He may do the opposite of what we expect Him to do. Sometimes inadvertently, sometime otherwise, we have acquired the habit of trying to tell the Lord exactly how we want Him to help us, and ignore the fact that He knows just what to do. When we are journeying through the valley, we sometimes question God's timing. And so David here, the writer of this beautiful Psalms, takes a possessive view of just what God means to him. He does something that we all should do in respect of God and who He is. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was not debating whether or not he was somebody else's shepherd, but when it came to his relationship with God, it was a personal endeavor. The Lord is my shepherd. And when it comes to our relationship with God, we should all feel this way. I would never question whether or not He's yours, but I know for a fact
that he is my shepherd. And so we need to understand that David, he knew firsthand the duty of a shepherd because he was a shepherd himself. He faced the lion and the bear to protect his father's sheep. He reasoned that God was his protector, just like David had placed in his life between the beast and the sheep. Jesus Christ placed his life between Satan and you. David was journeying through the valley, but he didn't make the valley his permanent home. Let me say it again. He didn't make the valley his permanent home. Too many of us have an address in the valley. But David didn't make the valley his personal, his permanent home. And so a valley means you find a way out, no matter what it takes to do so. So this morning, what can we learn about a valley? I want to give you 3 points, and this lesson is yours. Number one, accept the reality of the valley. Accept the reality of the valley. There will be valleys in your life. Days when the sun doesn't shine as bright, when things look gloomy and look sad. You know, in school, when you go back to school, you may fail your exam. Your good friend turn their back on you. Your boss tell you off. The doctor gives you a bad report. Nobody seems to be bothered with you. Don't be too surprised about them, because valleys are reality. Learn to accept the reality of the valley. Don't go into self-pity and tell yourself you're the only one suffering so much and everyone is happy and I'm going through a tough time. Don't fall into that trap. There will be persecution. There will be problems in life. Life cannot always be smooth. It cannot always be a mountaintop happy experience. Everyone goes through a valley. And as you go through the valley, there will be hills and there will be valleys. There will be high times and there will be low times. There will be time when everything will be great. Relationships falls into place. Things at work will be great, but however, the valley of life are not so enjoyable. There can be painful. There can be hurtful. There can be a very unpleasant circumstances. Everyone will face them, some more and some less, some deeper and others not so deep. Some longer and some shorter, but guess what? We all face them. And so when you listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, he said he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. In John 16 and verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So in other words, we are told to look at him and not our troubles. And so number one, accept the reality of the valley. Number two, the second thing is watch how you respond in the valley. You accept the reality of the valley, but you watch out how you respond in the valley. Because it will either make you or break you. Don't focus on the valley. Focus on the shepherd, the one who is with you. Declare to God your faith in him. Notice in the first part of Psalms, David talks about God in the third person. He is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. But then when you get to verse number 4, he talks to God. I'm not afraid because you are with me. I'm going to go through this difficult situation safely because you are here. I can feel secure because you are capable of protecting me with the rod and the staff in your hand. See, it's a prayer. In the midst of difficult circumstances, fearful times, declare your victory in Christ and our faith in Almighty God. Notice what David says. David says, I will walk. I will not fear. I will go through. He is not psyching himself, but he is basing it on truth. He is reminding himself of the truth of God's word, what God has promised. And I suggest to you this morning, we are to keep on walking even through, and even though it may be difficult, be determined to go on and not give in to fear or intimidation. So look at David's attitude. Look at his attitude. He did not say, I walk in the valley. Y'all see that? He didn't say that. But notice what he says. He says, but I walk through the valley. Because the valley is temporary. The sheep needs to go through to reach the grassland. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 and 18, he says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen is eternal. So David was determined. David was confident that he'll walk through because of the shepherd. It's a declaration of faith, not in self, but in the shepherd. And so the circumstance has not changed, but he's putting his trust in Almighty God. And this is how we ought to respond this morning. And this response is critical to the success of our journey. So number one, accept the reality of the valley. Secondly, watch how we respond in the valley. But then number three, the third thing is to recognize what's in the valley. Recognize what's in the valley. David wasn't really looking at the valley. His eyes were somewhere else. Why? Because he saw some things. In that verse, notice what he saw. He saw the rod and the staff in the shepherd's hand. So he was looking at him. That's where our focus must be. Not in the valley, not in our troubles, but look at the one who can help us go through our valleys, who can help us to go through our troubles. The shepherd is capable of protecting. That's the rod. And to help and save us, that's the staff. See, the rod is used to fight against attacks from wild animals. But the staff is to rescue, to assist the sheep. So David says, the rod and the staff, they comfort me. So if you're going to be successful this morning in climbing the mountain, then you must recognize what's in the valley. Number one, God is there. He's there in the valley. Notice what he says. He says, for thou art with me. God is there. The valley sometimes is the only way God can speak to some of us. Some Christians get high up on the mountain and their ears get stopped up and they can't hear God speak. Some get so high in the mountain that they get in the fog and can't see spiritually. And God may have to take us down there in order for us to come to the mountaintop. Sometimes God has to take you through down in the valley so you can appreciate who he is and what he can do for you. So number one, God is there. The second thing I see is ground zero is there. Or it's there in the text. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley is the ground zero for success. It is the only access to the mountain. It's where the elevator is. Maybe you know a high school student. Maybe you know a college student. Maybe you know a mom or a dad or a teacher, a married couple, or somebody else who's in the valley and can't seem to get out of the valley. Maybe you know someone who is considering throwing in the towel. Maybe you know somebody who can't get a handle on their relationship. And if it's you this morning, I suggest to you, get on the elevator. God can take you to the mountaintop. God is there. Ground zero is there. But watch this third one. Y'all gonna look at me. What did that mean? Grappling is there. What is that? It's a sport that consists of gripping or seizing the opponent. In other words, it's similar to wrestling. Y'all don't say wrestling. is similar to that. In other words, it's a place of decision. Am I going to stay here, or am I going to climb the mountain? And we must grapple with our decision and trust the Lord so that we can make the right choice. Look at the choice David made. It's right here in the text in verse 4. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because why is that? There is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Will I make the decision to stay in the world or climb the mountain to spiritual attainment? Will I trust myself or will I trust the Lord? Will I depend on my own strength, or will I depend on the rod and the staff that comforts me? We're making decisions. Joshua had to make a decision. He told the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. But Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The only reason for staying in the valley is that you don't want to make a decision to get out of the valley. You got to make that decision. Do you want to stay in the valley, or do you want God to help you get to the mountaintop? That's the decision you have to make. And finally, verse 5 and 6, grace is there. Grace is there. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Luke chapter 3 and verse 5, every mountain shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall, or every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. That means that the mountain is accessible to all who trust the Lord and start climbing. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and call according to his promise. So I suggest to you this morning, the basic question for you to think about is not whether we have many or few valleys in life. It's not whether those valleys are dark or not so dark. But here's the question. How do I respond to them? How do I go through them? Put your trust in the shepherd and rely on him. Someone says, when life caves in, you do not need reasons. You need comfort. You do not need some answer. You need someone. And Jesus does not come to us with an explanation,
But he comes to us with his presence. God wants us to build our faith in the valley. And I know all of us this morning, we love the mountaintop. But listen, we build faith in the valley. You are stronger now because you have went through some stuff. Instead of being on the mountaintop all your life, sometimes you got to learn to experience some stuff. It's not only to help you, but it's to help somebody else. Because somebody else may be going through the same stuff you are going through. And you can be able to help them to say, I know what you're going through because I went through it myself. And the answer to it is let the Lord be your shepherd. Let him guide you. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Friends will turn their back on you. Family will turn their back on you. But it's good to know I got somebody that will not turn their back on me. I got somebody who said, I'll be a friend that stick closer than a brother. That's what you need. And thank God this morning, we got some company in our valleys. Let the Lord guide you through those valleys. If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going through some valleys. But I want to tell you, you can't go through them by yourself. You need some help. And Jesus is there to help you. But what you got to do is you got to be willing to obey him. You got to be willing to trust him. How do I obey him? You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. And then go down in the water of the grave. A baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Baptism is a burial. Romans 6:3-4. When you come by that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord will add you to his church. And then, as you're going through your valleys, you got some company now. Some company that can help you to make it through your valley. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian. Maybe you've been dealing with some valleys in your life. I want you to know, you got the best company that you can have. That's Jesus. Don't turn your back on him, but let him help you through your valley. If you hear subject to the invitation, come on down right now. We stand and sing the song of invitation.
Sweetly, Lord, we ever thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway.
you bow with me, please? Dear Father, as we're about to depart, we want to thank you for being with us all through the walk of life, for lifting us from the pits of despair and guiding our sight towards heaven. Be with us, dear Father, that as we walk through this valley, that we'll bring others with us, that we'll be our brother's keepers, that we will rely upon you to guide us, and that we will follow. Dear Father, as we follow you through this life, we pray that we'll love one another, and that we'll cherish your word, that we'll always be seeking your guidance. We ask, dear Father, you be with the sick of our number, with the sick around the world, with our leaders, that during this time we'll cease our hostility and that we'll work together for the good of all men, for all women, for our children, that we may have the future that you would envision for us. Help us, dear Father, to fulfill the promise that you have placed within each of us, that we may have the soul of Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.